Now we want to get a rundown on legislation that did or did not make it past that crossover deadline. Start with some education bills that passed at least one chamber of the General Assembly, including a trio of measures that some lawmakers say could fundamentally change our education system. And to find out more about that, we welcome Rima Crace to the program. Hello, Rima.
Hello, Frank.
First of all, we've got a bill that would increase penalties for students who assault their teachers. Talk about that. It was changed a little bit from its original form. Tell us more.
Yeah, when it was first introduced, it was a little bit more severe than it is now, but it's still a policy that some folks say may be ill-advised. So if you assault a teacher once, the student would face a penalty that stays the same. It would be a Class A1 misdemeanor. But the change is that if you assault a teacher twice, it would be considered a felony and a crime with possible prison time of up to 25 months. Assault a teacher three times, it would be slightly more severe, where you could face up to 31 months. And Republican senators introduced this bill saying that we've seen more assaults on teachers, more students threatening teachers. Last school year, there were about 1,300 assaults. But what they don't mention is that about half of them were from students with disabilities. And many of them don't even involve touching. It's just they show a force. They threaten a teacher. Maybe a teacher is trying to break up two people and she or he gets unintentionally hit. But to be clear, this would only apply to students who are 16 and older, and it would not apply to students who have disabilities that are identified by the school.
And the change is now it goes from what had been just a first offense to now it has to be a second offense before it's a felony, right?
Exactly. And it's already a felony if you cause serious injury to a teacher, serious physical injury. But now this would change it so that, you know, even if you don't touch a teacher but just threaten a teacher, that could be classified as a felony. And it would only apply to a small group of people because many of the 1,300 assaults seen last school year were from actually like 10-year-olds and 8-year-olds, and very few of them are from high schoolers. But proponents say that it's still a problem and that they need to deter students from hurting or threatening teachers. Senator Tom Apodaca, he's a Republican from Hendersonville, he spoke on the floor about it, and he actually went a step further and suggested that discipline needs to be reintroduced in the classroom.
We need to send forth an amendment to put corporal punishment back in our schools. Coach Wilson, with his paddle with about 8 big holes in it, taught me a life lesson that I still can't forget, that there are consequences to actions.
Now, they did not actually propose an amendment on corporal punishment.
No, because those are actually fully mature adults with actual who aren't in an education system. When they commit an assault, we do actually apply a harsher penalty and a harsher test. But go ahead.
Right. Well, but they said that, sort of highlighting the importance of disciplining kids early on so that they behave well later. So they did pass that bill in the House, and now it goes before the Senate. But there were opponents who were just strongly against this, saying that it strengthens what many call the school-to-prison pipeline and would cut off opportunities for young people, and that their brains are not fully formed, and sometimes their brain has not caught up with the adrenaline that they feel. So Senator Erica Smith Ingram, she's a Democrat from Northeast North Carolina, she talked about this.
We are potentially ruining their ever possibility of getting a job, becoming gainfully employed, being able to access higher education, being able to have a quality of life. And the last time I checked, that is the purpose of education.
We are talking about crossover today on a legislative update today on the state of things. Education reporter Rima Crace is with us, along with Jorge Valencia. So, Rima, lawmakers also passed a teacher scholarship program that somewhat resembles a program they killed, the Teaching Fellows Program. Tell us about this measure.
Yeah, some legislators made references and parallels to the NC Teaching Fellows Program. Some shied away from making those comparisons. But for our listeners who don't know, that program started a few decades ago, and it provides opportunities, scholarships for students who know they want to be teachers, and in return they commit 4 years in a classroom. And this bill would create a program that's kind of similar, but it would be open to students. It could be open to current college students. It could be open to people who already have their degrees. And And they would have to commit 4 years in a hard-to-fill position, so maybe math or science teacher, and in a low-performing school or a hard-to-fill school. And so that is just a policy right now. They have not attached any money to it yet, but we could see.
All right, and there was other legislation that has been changed somewhat since it was initially proposed. The House passed a measure that changes the way states give grades to each public school, right?
Yeah, so schools right now are awarded an A through F grade based on how well they do, and it's determined by two things: how students do on a test on a given day and how much growth they make. And right now, much more weight is given to how well they do on tests. And low-performing schools, or excuse me, schools with high populations of students living in poverty got lots of D's and F's last year and said, that's because you're not putting enough weight on how much growth we're making, and that's not fair. And so we see this bill would make it 50-50, so that half of the grade would be determined how well students do on tests and half on how much growth they make. And this is not surprising. We've seen a lot of bills trying to change this. In Florida, where they introduced it in the late 1990s, they've already passed more than 30 bills trying to change their grading scale. And it's important to some schools because, you know, a grade can determine how others perceive them.
I've got about 30 seconds less, but there are a number of bills didn't make it. One of the education bills that didn't make the crossover deadline was one that would force professors to teach 8 classes a year. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that bill would have required them to double their course load. And there was a lot of public outcry from the higher ed communities saying that it would really hurt sort of the research enterprises at certain universities because these professors are required to research and publish. So they effectively killed that bill and turned it into a study.
All right. Well, we're going to continue our conversation about the state legislature as it went into turbo mode trying to get bills passed before the crossover deadline. We'll find out more about what didn't make it when our conversation continues on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us. This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow, talking about yesterday's crossover deadline at the legislature in Raleigh, the day non-financial bills have to pass at least one chamber of the General Assembly or be tabled until the next session. WNC reporters Jorge Valencia and Rima Crace are with me. Jorge, the House passed a bill that says doctors would not have to be present for the state to administer the death penalty. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so still currently a state law, a physician has to be present in the room when an execution is performed. The state hasn't had any execution since 2006 as a result of various legal cases holding it up in court. So part of what this is really aiming to do is to clear that up, to make it easier for the state to be able to perform executions. The debate over this bill became about the death penalty in general, not just about whether a physician should be there, whether there are any ethical violations for a physician or a nurse being in the room, but really about whether we should be executing people at all. And House Speaker Tim Moore, he's the most important member in the House, he's a Republican, he actually spoke about this, and it was one of, by my count, only 2 times during this entire session that he's spoken. And it's because it's an issue that he feels very strongly about. Here's what he had to say.
I've actually walked on death row, actually gone into where the executions are to occur, talked to the warden, went in there and watched the folks on death row watching TV and doing whatever they're doing. But nobody's been executed. I have compassion for human life like anyone else. But you have to remember, the folks who are on death row are folks who have brutally murdered someone.
So the speaker's argument, I mean, you might have heard this before from people who feel strongly about the executions, is that justice needs to be served. There are survivors of people who have been killed, and they are waiting for closure, and that's what we're waiting, and that's this is what we should give them.
So we, as part of the argument, and the interesting thing about the doctors in terms of legislation that would not require them to be present is you have a legal argument, constitutional question about whether or not the death penalty is cruel and unusual in its administration. In order to try to meet that test, doctors were present to make sure the lethal injection that was administered would in fact not cause pain. And then you have a doctor present. Now you have, on top of that, an ethical problem for doctors whose prime directive is do no harm and, of course, killing someone harms them. And so that becomes an ethical question for doctors. How do we get around that? The legislature says, well, why don't we not make it possible or necessary for a doctor to be there? Is that what's behind this in some ways?
Yeah, and it could be. I mean, that's exactly what it is. I mean, you might have remembered some cases recently. There was a case in Ohio, I believe, in which somebody was executed, and he was agonizing for close to half an hour. And so the solution here, instead of having a physician, you could have a nurse practitioner, another type of medical professional. Well, the thing is that it's also an ethical violation for them to participate in this. So that, I mean, and that was actually part of the conversation that was going on. But like I said, I mean, this turned into a conversation, and this was like at 10 p.m. after they'd been in session for hours. They were in sessions hours after this. But it turned into a conversation not about the ethics of a physician being there, but just about whether or not we should be executing people at all. And Representative Greg Meyer, he's a Democrat from Orange County, he pretty much came out and said that he thinks that we shouldn't be executing people. Here's what he had to say.
Given the number of botched executions that we've seen recently in the country, and given the high expense that it takes to keep the death penalty in place in any state, I think we have ample evidence to simply abolish the death penalty, take all of our death row prisoners and put them on a sentence of life without parole, and end this measure once and for all for the good of the people of North Carolina.
There we go. So that's the argument about the botched executions, of course, whether or not it constitutes cruel punishment. And then Tim Moore said the people on death row have brutally murdered someone. But as we know from the number of cases of people who've been exonerated from death row, there were people on death row who did not murder anyone.
Yeah.
And there may well be people on death row who did not. So that was also part of, I'm sure, the death penalty argument.
Yeah, it was. Now, conversation about this got cut short. And that was one of the things that of course, was brought up. It got cut short because Representative Greg Meyer, whom we just heard, he proposed an amendment that would essentially abolish the death penalty in North Carolina, thereby making this entire bill unnecessary. And one of his colleagues who actually agreed with the purpose of what he was trying to do said, you know, it's 10 p.m. We've got a docket with dozens of bills on it. I agree with what you're trying to do, but this is not the time to do it. So they set it aside in the bill, allowing for physicians to not be present, went through in the House, and now it's before the Senate.
All right. So we will stay tuned as these measures make their way through the legislature. Jorge Valencia, Rima Kreis, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you, Frank.